Mediated conversation on SAFM.
34 minutes after 8, 26 minutes before the top of the hour, it's time for your mediated conversation. There's been intermittent water cuts. Maybe let me say there's been intermittent water supply throughout Gauteng, particularly in Johannesburg North. Rand Water tells us yesterday that the water crisis is so bad, and well, I'm paraphrasing here, but we learned through an interview from Rand Water yesterday that they lose 42% of the water they pump per day to leakages. I asked them, how much water do you pump per day? They said 5,000 megaliters. 1 megaliter is 1 million liters. That is to say, 2 billion liters of water is lost per day through the Rand Water value chain and its customers through leakages. That is a grave problem. Only 60% of the water that they pump actually makes it into households and through our taps. That too is incredibly shocking. And this is why this mediated conversation is so incredibly important. Our guest for this conversation is Anya du Plessis, who's a UNISA professor of geography. We're also going to be speaking to Trevor Mulaudzi, who's a sustainable sanitation and water management teacher and at the University of Limpopo, and Denoy Leroux, who is the CEO of the Water Chambers. Anya, I'll start with you. Do we have a water resource problem, or do we have a water management problem? Anya? Seems like we've lost Professor Anya over there, but we'll try to get her back on the line. I think we might have her. Professor Anya, are you with us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Very clearly. Again, do we have a water resource problem? That is to say, the resource is running out, or do we have a water management problem?
At this point, it's both, to be very frank and short about this. We have to remember that the different context within South Africa has to be considered. A good example would be that us here in Johannesburg, now looking at stage 2 water restrictions with people in four ways and in the northern parts of Johannesburg sitting without water for 8 days. However, the Vaal integrated system is at 93%. So there, in this case, we have the resource. However, the infrastructure is letting us down. In terms of the Eastern Cape province, that's a good example of where we have a resource problem, but that's due to a combination of the extended drought as well as then poor infrastructure and then management.
How big of a threat are droughts at this stage?
Look, droughts are always going to be a major factor within South Africa. We are a water-scarce country. Our climate is semi-arid. Climate variability increasing. They are estimating that we will experience more weather, which will include floods as well as droughts. So droughts will always be a factor, and that's why Rand Water, as well as the Department of Water and Sanitation, as well as other water boards, have always put emphasis on now trying to create awareness for people to be more cognizant about their water use.
Yeah. When it comes to infrastructure management and perhaps even at a policy level, the policy implementation that governs our water supply ecosystem and the resource itself, are there gaps over there, and who's responsible for it?
Look, our legislative framework as well as the strategies are one of the best in the world. I mean, our National Water Act is very good. It's been praised all over the world. However, the implementation and then also the enforcement of the legislation or the strategies itself, that is lacking there. That might be due to issue of capacity. There isn't people to enforce these legislation. Or it can also be, like the minister has also said recently, a lack of skills.
And when it comes to these skills, why do we not have them? Did they leave the country? Did we not cultivate these skills? Do we need to import them? What's going on?
Look, in terms of engineers, I think we have...
Sorry. Could you just repeat that, Professor du Plessis? Your line's just cutting there a little bit.
Yeah, so that might be the reason why. And just to get back to your question, we have the resources available. I think that the bureaucracy, maybe the Red Tech, is playing an issue there. However, we do have the
implementing plan. Professor Anya, we seem to have difficulties with your line there. Let's see if we can get you on a better line. Trevor, I'd like to bring you into the conversation at this point. Where are we getting water management wrong?
I've been working with this issue for a long time. And as I was researching, where is the biggest leak in the water system? And I found that the biggest leak is in the flush toilet. We always say we don't have water, we don't have water. But when we get water, the majority, 65 to 70% of the water we use in the home is either from the bathroom or the toilet, which we flush away all the time. You go to the toilet for just to urinate, maybe you go 5 times, 5 times, 7 liters, 35 liters, just for a little bottle of pee. So I'm trying to come up with an idea of that. Let's propagate advocacy to change the toilet system into a dry sanitation. Dry sanitation, which means we can use the toilet without mixing our excreta with water. And one of the best toilets which I found, which was discovered during Katrina hurricane in the United States, was the twin bucket toilet system, which have been propagated. But unfortunately, many people think I'm taking them back to those olden days of bucket toilets.
Yeah, I actually want us to pause on that, because the Bill Gates Foundation also invested a lot of money into research around that. And what they found was that a lot of water can be saved if we just, you know, improved our recycling infrastructure. Professor Duplessis, you commented earlier on around the poor infrastructure. Is this with regards to just water distribution, or is it also about water purification? And are there ways that we can use technology to improve water purification? Reverse osmosis, you know, using gravity for its good. What can we do to make the technology better and more efficient?
Okay, first of all, when we look at technology, there are many options available. Like you said, reverse osmosis. And so on. However, we have to be cognizant of the context that we are living in. Most rural areas are struggling with water supply, as well as then sanitation. Those areas need to be addressed. In terms of our water treatment plants, I mean, if you look at the Green Job report that's been released this year, the compliance is not very good. There hasn't been an improvement since 2014. So we are sitting with the critical sewage levels around the country. Durban beaches are a very good example, where some of the beaches are still closed, and then you also have constant sewage, which is still being spilled into the Vaal River as well as the Vaal Dam, which is one of our major water sources.
My goodness. Professor Duplessis, I know you have to leave us, but thank you so much for your time. Really, really do appreciate your contribution.
Thank you very much.
And it really is, you know, insightful stuff. That's Professor Anya Duplessis, Associate Professor at the Department of Geography at UNISA. You know, Trevor, I want to come back to that. If toilets are what the greatest leakage is in terms of how we use our water, surely our sanitation and purification system is a stop loss against that.
Exactly. That's why I've been campaigning that let's change our mindset and come up with a new simple technology. That let's harness our excreta at the point of origin. Let what we excrete be handled at a household level. The system I'm coming up with is just like a bucket toilet, but you need the compost and training on how to use it. As long as you don't mix your pee and your number two, you do it differently. You have two or three buckets for sitting on for number two, and one
That calls for an entire behavioral switch. Do you think South African households are ready for that?
They are not ready because advocacy is the most expensive tool we've got. I've been campaigning about this, and people think, you know, I'm just out of this world. I'm talking nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm reversing the process of freedom we got when we got independence in 1994, and where our government said they'll strive for everybody having a flush toilet. That's where the problem started.
But I mean, at the time, that was the best technology available at scale. So it's not as though the government was trying to be fancy about it. Benoit Leroux, I want to bring you in over here. Are there ways that we can improve our water management that may not necessarily require life-changing behavioral paradigm shifts.
Yes, good morning to you and your listeners, and very interesting conversation. Yes, look, our society is designed since the first industrial revolution to provide bulk water. It's roughly 27-28% of our national water demand to our cities. And then 70% of it roughly goes out of the cities as sewage, which gives us improved health and the likes. And this is one of the reasons why we live very well. Just want to bring up one point to answer your question is that we're focusing on the small and medium water here. The big water is we're actually using 2,000 to 3,000 liters of water a day. And that's the 60% of the water that is embedded in food.
So who are the big water users?
Agriculture on average on Earth is 60 to 80%. South Africa is just over 60%. So we have more water flowing. Less water flowing through the Nile in Cairo than we have embedded in the food in Egypt. So this is where our focus has to be. And with 97% of our sewage plants not complying to a very low 90% threshold in the Green Drop Report, we are polluting our food resource. That disaster is going
to what does the Green Drop Report measure?
It measures the compliance from an operational management and quality perspective of the treatment of sewage that release their treated sewage, in inverted commas, normally to a water course and some on the coast into the sea. But most of it inland, most of our population's inland, and that goes into our waters, rivers, lakes, and the likes.
And our sewers are not compliant.
Our sewers are not compliant.
Why is that?
When we look at... whether it's water service delivery or sanitation service delivery, there's not been a priority as we've seen energy is not. The root causes are exactly the same. So Johannesburg, for example, has 123 billion rands worth of water and sanitation assets on its books. It has a 23 billion arrears and is spending about 1.2 billion a year on those assets. So the gap is increasing. You cannot put new resource. You cannot do Lesotho Highlands into a leaking bucket. The bucket is leaking because for 30 years, we have not maintained our assets. Now, generally speaking, there's been a global issue, but South Africa has got 2 to 3 times the non-revenue water, and that is 90% of non-revenue water, 41%, so 37% is in actual fact physical leaks. And those leaks, now what happens with our infrastructure, when we start getting load shedding, for example, and we start getting heat all at the same time, the demand increases, load shedding doesn't enable us to use the energy to push the water around the delivery system. And what happens, the system starts draining and air ingresses into it. When the power comes back on, we start pumping. We get what we call water hammer because the water doesn't compress, but the air does. And we destroy the old infrastructure. So what we're busy at the moment is actually destroying our infrastructure.
So load shedding has been destroying our water infrastructure. Am I understanding that correct?
Yes, it wouldn't destroy to the same extent if we weren't vulnerable, like we are in Itakweni, etc. So we're sitting on a time bomb, and the energy issue is just highlighting how vulnerable our water infrastructure is after 30 years of inadequate asset management. So we have what we call internationally a perfect storm. There are solutions to this, but we have to reprioritize our spending, and we have to boost our economy to be able to have the fiscus that can lubricate the rejuvenation of our assets. Otherwise, there's no substitute for water. With energy, there is, but there's no substitute for water. Otherwise, we're heading for a very torrid time, and I think society is starting to get a feel for what is going to be probably 10, 20 times worse in the years to come. Not only energy, but water. And this is a water, energy, food nexus we're talking about.
Yeah.
So we've got to look after environment, our assets, our energy. All these things are coming home to roost, and a modern society cannot change to rural type of water and sanitation and energy. We can't do that. We're not geared for that, and this is why we're going to stay with a flush system. But yeah, the issue is actually, that's just the symptom. The real issue is an economic one, it's a management one, it's a priority one, and as a society, we need to hold government to account. And Minister of Water Affairs is very clear with that.
We
must hold this department to account.
Yeah, not that I'm looking for a panacea to this conversation, but maybe let me ask this. If we were to stop leakages, how significantly would we reverse our water supply problem? I'm asking this because Rainwater tells us they lose 42% of the water they pump to leakages. They pump 5,000 megaliters a day. That means they lose about 2,000 megaliters a day to leakage as a result of poor infrastructure. If we could stop that, how much of the crisis would be reverted?
Well, firstly, it's not Rand Water is losing the water. It's the metros that are losing the water.
Well, Rand Water customers are losing the water, yeah.
Yeah, but not the end user. So the non-revenue water is where the bulk water is handed over from Rand Water to Joburg Water, Ekurhuleni and Tshwane, and they then distribute it to the end user. So the difference between what the end user gets and what Rand Water deliver is 41%. So for every 100 litres, 41% is lost. Roughly 4 litres is due to billing issues, a little bit of theft and the likes. It's fairly small. It's acceptable that. According to world norms, 37% is not. The system should be at less than 5%. And this is getting worse. And this is an average in the country. There's quite a few metros who are over 50%.
Wow.
So what's happening is we are pumping that resource. We are paying a lot of money to get it from Lesotho and from the Tugela in KZN and from the upper reaches of the Vaal River in our integrated Vaal River system.
But
and
we lose half of it.
But then if it doesn't, lose half of it doesn't get to the customer. So that equivalent in South Africa is roughly, it would be water for 8 million people. So we don't have a water resource problem in general, although we have run out of our reserves on average. Let's not be misled by the 94% of the integrated Vaal River system. That's because we had exceptional rains and hopefully we'll get some more. That's not the norm. The sustainable yield is we are in a negative balance in South Africa. Hence, we have the problems along the coast that are fairly well known, especially the Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
The thing is, we've doubled the population in Gauteng, but we haven't doubled the water reserve availability. So Rand Water cannot pump more until the Lesotho Hans comes on stream. It's still be a deficit. So what we've got to do at a metro level, we've got to prioritize our network industry. So it's water, roads, logistics, and energy, which is also failing. And energy is failing because of switching on and off, but it's not as sensitive as switching water on and off. The water systems are not designed to be switched off. And that is a global thing. We have not found a way of doing it any other way. With the vulnerable infrastructure we have that we are not maintaining, it just pops a lot easier. So we have to address this. And it's a national calamity, catastrophe, and priority.
086-000-2032. Give us a call. That is the number to dial if you'd like to contribute to the conversation. We're taking your WhatsApp voice notes on 0614-104-107. We continue the conversation on the other side of the traffic.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
Gauteng and South Africa by and large is in a water crisis. How do we solve it? That is the mediated conversation we are having this hour. You can be a part of it. 086-000-2032. That's the number to dial. Taking your WhatsApp voice notes on 0614-104-107. Trevor, I want to bring you back into the conversation. With the backdrop and the context just discussed right now by Benoit Leroux before we went to the break around how just the water management crisis means that half of the water that we receive, we just lose, means that it really isn't the end consumer to be blamed for water usage behavior, but rather the institutions that are responsible for distributing that water for fixing their management and infrastructure.
We are all guilty. The end user and also the supplier, the municipalities and all, because the unfortunately, what is happening in this sphere, our municipalities don't listen to what the universities are saying. So we do research which is just for the sake of research these days. When we go there and they call us for workshops, we say, let's do it like this. We've already assessed the situation. We know what to be done. They think you are looking for a tender. You are coming up with a solution.
Yeah.
But the way our systems work in the municipalities, in the government, is that everything must go through a tender. But if it was done because of the person who proposed that, here is the solution. We're not looking for money. We're bringing a solution. But the solution has got a cost. We do it like that. Then we can move very, very fast.
Yeah. But now, are we making the right sort of investments? Are we spending the money we have into the right thing? So maybe let me delineate that question because it's two questions. One, are we spending enough? And that which we are spending it correctly?
Well, firstly, as a consumer, be it industry and the likes, we are paying for service and we're not getting the service returned by the metros or the water service providers. So that's the first thing. The second, and there's an overall recovery, so it's a quid pro quo all the costs are recovered on a national basis. There's ups and downs in local areas, but they are recovered. So we 59% of households do not pay for water services. So there's not enough money in the system. And what's happening, if you look at Johannesburg specifically, spending around about 1.2 billion a year on asset replacement or rejuvenation, it can never catch up to the 23 billion in arrears that it has. So we don't have enough money in the system to lubricate it. And the money that's been put into the system is in actual fact patchwork, like we've done in Eskom. So what we're doing is, and you can't blame the engineers and the artisans doing the work, they're doing what they are told to do and with the money they've got. So we need to increase the tempo of doing that. And this is why the minister's talking about private sector participation and the likes, but in the end, somebody has to pay for it. So the horrendous news we have is that our water services are going to cost a lot more because the system's inefficient, but also we need everybody to pay. We're one of the only countries in the world that has free water. The rich will pay more, the poor will pay less. But now, you know, if you start throttling the rich, you subsidize the poor, who are not paying at all at the moment, what happens is you land up with a system that has too much debt and we can't maintain the assets, you can get the spiral. So it's a fundamental economic issue. In a thriving economy where you have more people who are non-indigent, you have enough in people who are able to pay a reasonable amount and you can then lubricate the system. So it's we call this internationally with our socialists, we call this a perfect storm that we're heading in. We've got everything, every problem that can go wrong that's hitting us. And in actual fact, it's hitting us at the beginning of summer, which is the last straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. Taking your calls on 086-000-2032. Aisha in Upington, good morning.
Morning, Oliver, and good morning to your guests. There are just two things. One, do you know, or have you guys done the costing to replace our entire water system new? That's one. And two, to the politicians, I'd like to say, Oliver, we will die without water. Leave everything else. Put your money in the water thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will listen on the radio.
Aisha, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Trevor, do we have an idea about what our water infrastructure investment backlog is? How much money should we be spending per year maintaining our water systems?
In fact, at the moment, we are spending enough money to bring water to the people. Unless, unfortunately, there are those people who live in rural areas who are still waiting for the water. But the investment in water is a lot of money.
Yeah. That's the investment on getting water to people. I'm talking about the maintenance of the system. Benoit, do we have an idea about what we should be spending, and is there a shortfall?
Yeah. Look, the master plan is... Straight from government, the master plan says we are short of 900 billion rand to reinstate our water systems to get water security, and most of that money is at municipal level. That was published in 2018. Our belief is that it's over a trillion rand and it is severely understated. Johannesburg has a 23 billion backlog, and to catch that up, if they spend double, it will take them 10 years. So we're generally speaking, we have to spend probably 260 to 300 billion a year in South African metros, and we are spending roughly a third to a quarter of that. We have to increase the spending, otherwise the system will collapse as it is now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Really, really do appreciate it. This is a saddening conversation. Bonnie LaRue, who is the CEO of the Water Chamber. Trevor Mulaudzi, who's a sustainable sanitation and water management teacher at the University of Limpopo. Thank you so much for your time. Anya Duplessis, who joined us earlier as well. Thank you for your time. Really, really do appreciate it. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening and thank you for engaging. Before I go, I just want to make a quick short of announcement. For those who do actually know, I broadcast a show called This Week Today. We're hosting a very special debate, which is part of the SAFM University Debate Challenge Series. It is University of Pretoria versus Tshwane University of Technology. And they're debating the topic, should we nationalize our private security industry and co-opt it into the South African Police Service? That is the debate that they are, that is the topic that they are debating this Friday. They're doing it live here at the SABC studios in our ground floor auditorium. You can be part of the live audience, and I'd like you to be. Come and join us. Come have a drink with us. Come have some coffee with us. Watch the debate. Let's engage. Let's interact. To do that, just send an email to tuso@safm.co.za and say, hey, I'd like to attend the debate, and you'll get a confirmation. That is tuso@safm.co.za. That's T-U. THUSO, Tuso at sfm.co.za. And come through. It's going to be 6 o'clock at 6 o'clock this Friday. We'd like for you to arrive at 5:30. It's going to be a fun debate. We're taking this debate across the country into different provinces. This is the second one. The first one was between the University of the Witwatersrand as well as University of Johannesburg. That debate was won by the University of Johannesburg. Thank you so much for your time. It's 9 o'clock. Time for your news.